Gracious God, teach us from your word, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Is it warm enough for you? I was telling some of you earlier that I suffer from Goldilocks syndrome, and that means I don't like extremes of heat or cold. It's got to be just right, as far as I'm concerned. And we need to, oh dear, find something to be hopeful about, some words of optimism, which I think is quite difficult from today's readings, which are jolly grim. I was in Specsavers last week, and just, you know, normal checkup for new glasses. And we were sitting around in the waiting room, and this old lady came in, pushing a frame and wearing a wig, and she said, I'm 101. And we all applauded. And she said, two of my sons are in a nursing home in Freeland. And at 101, I go and visit them. So we have to, we have to do our best to find things to be hopeful about, which I think, given our readings today, is quite difficult because they're rather depressing. First of all, let's take the Old Testament story. At Sarah's behest, Abraham sends into the desert his own son, Ishmael, along with his mother, Hagar. And in a pitiful verse, we're told that Sarah, Abraham's wife, had seen Ishmael playing with her own son, Isaac, and she wanted rid of the competition. At Sarah's behest, they had to go. When their meager supplies run out, Hagar abandons the boy under a bush because she cannot bear to watch him die, and she weeps. Happily, God intervenes to avert tragedy. Now, last week we celebrated Father's Day, and I have a big question over Abraham's parenting skills. Not just Ishmael, because in the following chapter, Genesis 22, Abraham is ready to kill his other son, Isaac. Fortunately, once again, God intervenes. Throughout the Bible, there are references to our father, Abraham. Quite honestly, were Abraham to be my father, I would be rather nervous. So let's turn to our gospel reading. I'm just going to get it out from here because we haven't got the numbers on the sheet. Somewhere. Right. Jesus says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is grim reading. Oh dear, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. So here's a question. What is your own experience of family dissension? Sadly, I guess we've all been there. It is incredibly common and incredibly painful. Those we love the most are the ones who can hurt the most. Nowadays, family rows are often the result of, you know, marital breakdown, infidelity, that sort of thing, or of money, debts not honoured, inheritances inequitably shared out. I was in Ireland a couple of years ago and I was visiting relations, including my 100-and-something-year-old cousin Jack, who at 100-and-something had just bought himself an electric car and was determined to take me for a spin in it in the rain. And going downhill, he said, "I've got the wrong specs on," and he pulled them off. Anyway, I said to Jack, if my mother was still alive, they would have been about the same age. And they both came from quite big families, and they didn't live very far from one another. And I said, "Did you see much of the Quinlans when you were growing up? Did you know my mother?" And he said, "Oh, no, not at all, not at all. Their fathers, or grandfathers, I forget which, had been brothers, and they'd fallen out over money. And the families had never spoken to one another. And that is just so sad." Now, in this country, being a Christian is not, does not result, sorry, I'm just trying to find my place, does not result in persecution. But throughout the world, there are many places even today where Christians are tortured and killed, particularly if they have converted from another set of beliefs. Apostasy is the most heinous of crimes. And sadly, as Jesus says here, it is often the members of one's family who are most outraged. Verse 35 and 36. Well, I won't read them again. "I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against his mother," and so on and so forth. So let's take a moment to consider Jesus' own family life. Clearly, his brothers and sisters did not always find him approachable. In Matthew 12, verses 46 and 47, we're told that while Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, waiting to speak to him. And someone told him, "Lord, your mother and your brothers and sisters are standing outside, waiting to speak to you." And Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And, you know, that must have been quite hard for his family, I guess. Maybe his family had hoped that Jesus would follow family tradition and become a carpenter or a builder. But Jesus did not. He had left behind Nazareth and the carpenter's shop. Indeed, he never refers to Joseph as father, but frequently to my Father in heaven. In a traditional family setup, that would have been quite hard. But Jesus' destiny as Messiah, as a wandering teacher and healer, he spoke out, which brought with it both delight and hostility. Delight from the crowds who flocked to hear him and to follow him even, hostility from the Jewish authorities who disapproved of his unorthodox behaviour, especially healing on the Sabbath. And maybe they were jealous of his popularity. So here are two more questions for you. In what circumstances, if any, are you prepared to take a stand? And another question, can conflict be a force for good? For example, in the West, we're supplying arms to Ukraine. Is that a good thing? Some of you will think it is a good thing. Some of you may not. And if we step out, stand out, speak out, what are the consequences? You probably, all of you, know the name of Edward Jenner. He was the Gloucestershire doctor who discovered and popularised a vaccine to prevent smallpox, and he saved many, many lives. He also received death threats from those who perhaps had vested financial interests in other treatments or didn't like what he was doing or whatever. Anti-vaxxers are still with us. Cambridge professor Sharon Peacock, who set up the COVID-19 Genomics UK Consortium, which saved thousands of lives, has herself received death threats. She is a clever, brave, and determined woman. And what drives her is her commitment to public health, her desire to serve, and to be ready and prepared for the next pandemic. Now, Jesus calls us to follow him regardless of the cost. And he does promise us that the hairs of our head, I love this, the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid, you are of more value than many sparrows. So there's a cost and there's a promise. In John 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, that's a very hard saying. And many of those following him couldn't cope with those words. And we know it in a different way now when we take bread in communion. You know, we believe that for us, this is Jesus feeding us. But at the time when many people, as I say, left, they couldn't follow him, they left. Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And they went on to suffer, didn't they? As well as to know, that have that precious knowledge, first-hand knowledge of Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, St. Paul says, let us exult in our hardships, understanding... I always find this a little bit difficult. I think it's a bit optimistic, but nevertheless. Let us exult in our hardships, understanding that hardship develops perseverance, and perseverance develops a tested character, something that gives us hope, and a hope which will not let us down, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Nothing is more important and precious than following Jesus, whatever the cost. I'm going to close with the words of that Liverpool anthem, which I hope you won't find too cheesy. When you walk through a storm, hold your head high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of the lark. Walk on, walk on. Through the wind and the rain, though your dreams will be tossed and blown. Walk on, with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. With Jesus beside us, we will never walk alone.